Recorded Books presents Double Blind 2, Gilded Tower, a modern lit RPG by Jay McCoy. Narrated by Ramon D'Ocampo. Chapter 115. Quest received. Quest. Helpline. Primary objective. Locate Say. Secondary objective. Question mark. Personal objective. Remain unidentified by other users. Threat level, low. Experience gains. Time limit, question mark. Reward, question mark. The quest objective was so vague it was almost non-existent, to the point that I wondered if the non-specific nature was some sort of mind game. The objective simply called for locating the target alive or dead, and the rest of the text gave nothing away. Contrasting this quest with Ginny's, there was no allusion to a positive outcome, implied or otherwise. It could just be coincidence. But if the system was self-aware and malicious, keeping the description limited following the deceptive bundle of horseshit that was light in the darkness would be a decent method for catching my eye. If anything, it felt like I'd made the right call, waiting until after the transposition to read it. I was in a better headspace now than I had been at the time, though I was still obsessing over every little detail in the text. Even though it was cryptic, there were a few things that stood out. It explicitly stated the threat level was low. From my experience, if a quest was either complex or exceedingly difficult, the system would typically tag it with a question mark threat level. Granted, low didn't always mean easy. My early quest in the hospital could have easily proved fatal if it went wrong, but it probably meant this wouldn't be a complex quest. The fact it wasn't a chain supported that theory in tandem. If I wasn't wheelchair-bound, I might feel better about the possibility of having to retake the trial. On some level, I knew what I was really doing. I was distracting myself from the very real possibility that Say was gone. Any doubt remaining in my mind had evaporated once the transposition started. Whatever was happening, it wasn't about correcting or fixing us, as the overseer implied. It was a meat grinder, pushing us head first through motorized blades, intending to use whatever survived the process to some unknown purpose. And I held little hope for a meat grinder's mercy.
Race cake!
Our driver shoved the open mouth of a cylindrical plastic bag toward me and wiggled it, so the wrinkled plastic seemed to wave. I took the opportunity to study Kinsley's henchman, Steinbeck. That was how he'd introduced himself. Last name and nothing else. He was sporting a military crew cut, black cargo pants, and a gray t-shirt that seemed vastly uncomfortable with the bulging shoulder muscles that rippled as he moved, threatening to shred the shirt at any given moment. No.
Cap?
He twisted his arm to aim the bag at Kinsley, wiggling it again, all the while never looking away from the road.
Later. Save me a few.
Kinsley shook her head. She looked similarly stressed, though likely for different reasons. Her eyes were glazed over, and she was navigating system screens furiously, probably messaging.
10-4.
Steinbeck feigned a lazy two-finger salute and returned his attention to the road. I didn't like involving outsiders in something this personal. Not to mention, it was the one timeline discrepancy that could still trip me up. We'd fed him a line about my friends being overdue after telling me about the trial, that they'd disappeared before the transposition started, and I wanted to check on them after. It still felt like an unnecessary risk. But Kinsley either trusted the man or had enough leverage on him to vouch for his short-term loyalty. Considering how she handled me, there was a good chance of a contract being involved. Problem? I muttered under my breath to Kinsley.
Negotiating with other merchants for market access.
I respect the hustle, but is that really what you need to focus on right now? I asked. There were half a dozen things off the top of my head that seemed more important. Kinsley's expression soured.
Once the transposition ended, automatic restocking stopped completely.
I took a drink of one of the tall glass potions and fought down a gag as the thick, acrid fluid worked its way down my throat and into my stomach, a process I could vividly feel all the way.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?